Thank you for getting up this morning with Rosie on the house. We're going to make this time worthwhile for you by giving you a little history lesson on Labor Day. It's Labor Day weekend. We've got Constitution Day coming up as well. I think that's September 17th. We also are going to cover a great opportunity to volunteer for the outdoors of Arizona at the top of this hour. We've got our good friend John Eisenhower and John J. Harper joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll be talking trees, 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 the whole 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, it's open hour. We'll be talking about some particular notes of interest with the storm that blew through. We've got to, again, bring your attention to storm chasers. We have an interesting angle on that with some emails we received this week. Stay tuned for that in the 9 o'clock hour. And in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to cover one of the most boring topics on the planet with one of the most interesting people I know. Homeowners insurance. Boy, that'll put them on the edge of their seat, won't it? Well, it will if you join us at 10 o'clock.
Well, and after the storm, it may just put a lot of people on the edge of their seats.
That's right. Things you don't know about your homeowner's insurance policy and things you should. That's today's lineup, but we're back here with Dr. David Dean, Assistant Professor of History at Grand Canyon University, and we're talking Labor Day, signed into federal law by President Grover Cleveland in 1894, which actually was his second term.
Right, his second term. He's the first Democrat that was elected in 1884 since before Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
And so it's kind of unique that he's the Democrat. We'd had Republicans for a long time. And then he lost the reelection after his first term to Harrison. And then he comes back strong in the second.
So he's our 22nd president and he's our 24th president. He bookends Benjamin Harrison's presidency. And he actually won that election by popular vote.
Right. He won by almost 100,000 votes. Popular votes, but he lost the Electoral College due to the states of Indiana and New York. And so that's just how our Electoral College system works.
And he was from New York.
And he was from New York.
I mean, he was a mayor. He was a sheriff. Wasn't he governor of New York prior to being president?
Yeah, he had a long career in politics and public service. He was really known as a reformer, as an anti-corruption person, and he ran strongly on the tariff or protecting businesses and those kind of things from foreign competition, and that was really well received by the popular vote.
And you can run on an anti-corruption bill and have illegitimate children with widows?
Well, that's that was part of the Republican attack. One of his campaign slogans against him was, "Ma, Ma, where's my pa?" You know, when they would talk about Cleveland and his dalliances. But he was running at that time against James Blaine from Maine.
This is his first
Election.
His first run, a Blaine of Maine.
Yeah, and Senator, he was a senator who was running for the presidency, and he was really one of those kind of people that never met a bribe that he didn't like. In fact, the slogan was him was Blaine, Blaine, James Blaine from Maine, the continental liar from the state of Maine. So,
boy, what a legacy. Oh, gosh. How'd you like to live a life that leaves that as your legacy?
There were some dirty politics going on in the election of 1884.
So that's not new to us.
Not new to us at
all. We've got an election coming up here in the next year. We're going to have you come back and just talk about the whole election process later, maybe in November. Can we book that for you?
About the first week or so.
Okay.
We'll be a year away from the presidential election, and we'll see who the Republicans are advancing by that time. Of course, the convention's not until next next summer,
yeah,
when they have the official nominee.
Maybe they'll have it winnowed down to 12 by November. Who knows? Huh? But so Grover Cleveland, our 22nd, our 24th president, lost the election in the middle of there to Benjamin Harrison by loss of Electoral College. You think they had to count chits and chads back there for that election?
In some cases, that Congress would have to make these decisions because these were paper ballots and whatnot. And so there was some controversy that might have been coming up about stuffing the ballot boxes and those kind of things.
No. No hanging chads, though, huh?
No hanging chads. You know, the interesting thing about the way that election kind of comes about is that when Grover Cleveland with the Electoral College and loses that by popular vote, that highlights something about our Constitution that's very unique. We don't elect our presidents based on population. We elect a group of people who then will go and cast the ballot for the presidency. And that's our Electoral College system that our founding fathers put up in our original Constitution. And that prevents a state like New York or a populous state like California from really controlling our elections. Otherwise, a candidate would never visit South Dakota or North Dakota or something because there would not be enough population there. So that's part of our representation of our states. It's an embedded part of our Constitution.
Been a lot of press the last few elections about abandoning the Electoral College. Now, that's a bunny trail I could take you on, but we're not going to go there, okay? If I take you down that trail, we might not come back today.
Right.
So the Constitution. We've got Constitution Day coming up here pretty quick. Mm-hmm. It sets how we're going to elect these presidents. And an Electoral College is a is an antithesis to mob rule.
Right. The founding fathers were very, very concerned about the public being a part of the political process. They wanted representation, but they weren't sure if people were educated enough to really have a hands on that. So by putting kind of a barrier, that's probably a bad word, but putting an intermediary between the two, they felt like the people's will would be done in a much truer fashion.
Well, barriers are barriers. If I could be king for a day, you'd have to be a tax-paying, property-owning participant of society to earn the privilege to vote. Those barriers will probably never, ever be introduced. That's why I could never run for office.
So I'm not allowed to vote because I don't own a house then?
Well, you need to own a house. That would be just the motivation you need to get into a house.
That's fair.
Folks, it's Rosie on the House. We're talking history. We're going to come back and talk about Constitution Day, which is just around the corner on September 17th. Let's talk about the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution, the ratification process, and the history of political parties. Woo! All that when we get back.